Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Indira Lakshmanan.
This convention will come to order. Delegates and alternates, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the 2016 Republican National Convention.
That's Republican National Committee Chairman Reince Priebus opening the GOP convention today in Cleveland, riffing off of presumptive nominee Donald Trump's now famous campaign slogan. The theme of today's convention first day is Keep America Safe Again. To find out more, we're joined by WBUR senior political reporter Anthony Brooks, who is on the floor for us in Cleveland. Hi, Anthony.
Hi, Indira. Greetings from the biggest political party on earth right now.
It sounds very, very exciting. I'm so glad you're there for us. But when I hear the words Keep America Safe Again, I think about safety for citizens and police officers like we were just talking about. And I also think about homeland security and terrorism. So how are the organizers in Cleveland and the Trump campaign itself addressing today's theme?
Yeah, well, in a lot of ways, I mean, in many ways, this is a convention like many other, like many others. The balloons are up in the rafters. There's a rock and roll band that's just been performing over the last few minutes. The Texan delegation are waving their white cowboy hats. But I've got to say that, you know, the recent spate of violence, including the killings of three police officers in Baton Rouge, have cast a bit of a pall over the atmosphere. There's enormous security in Cleveland. It's extraordinary. Huge police presence. The streets around the convention are blocked off with barricades. Just going a few blocks from our media center over here to the convention floor, it feels like you're going into the green zone of Baghdad. And then finally, the atmosphere is reflected in the choice of speakers. I mean, among those speaking tonight, former New York City Mayor Rudolph Giuliani. He was mayor, of course, during the 9/11 attacks. You can expect him to make a very strong law and order speech that Republicans hope, you know, will present Trump as the law and order candidate. But so there's no question there's a mix of celebration, but there's also a very serious set of issues that you can't ignore here.
Well, Anthony, let me ask you, what are the risks, if any, that you see in making law and order such a focus of the opening of the convention, which, you know, oftentimes would be a sort of happy moment to bring everyone together? This is kind of, as you say, a dour issue.
Yeah, and you know, and I don't want to overplay it. I mean, I think there's a lot of really positive atmosphere here right now, but there's no doubt that Trump is trying to tap into a huge sense of insecurity and fear across the land. I mean, the recent police-involved shootings, the murders of officers in Dallas and Baton Rouge have created enormous concern. So this is a time when lots of Americans might be drawn to a strong law enforcement message. I mean, I think the risk is that Trump could come across as exploiting the situation. I mean, remember his reaction after the massacre at the Pulse nightclub in Orlando. He tweeted out a sort of strange tweet that seemed to sort of take credit for, you know, see, I was right. And so he played that wrong. So they've got to be, when I say they, the Republicans and Trump, they have to be careful about how they walk that fine line between talking about real issues and not coming across as trying to exploit fears out there across the land. So I think that's the balance they're trying to strike
and
here today.
You're right that Donald Trump was criticized not only for that tweet about Orlando, where he seemed to be saying, I told you so, it was Islamic extremists, but also his tweets after the killings of officers in Dallas and Baton Rouge were, you know, also came in for some criticism for seemingly being political grandstanding.
Absolutely. And so that's really what they have to be careful of here today and strike just the right balance.
All right. Well, you mentioned former New York Mayor Rudy Giuliani. Tell us about some of the other headliners speaking today. Any newsworthy things that have been said so far? And really, this is what I want to know. What are we expecting from Donald Trump's wife, Melania, tonight?
Yeah. I mean, I think that's going to be really interesting. I mean, in terms of the other speakers, two former Navy SEALs, two Marine Corps veterans, a retired lieutenant general will also be hearing from former Texas Governor Rick Perry. You know, there are lots of folks from the world of entertainment here at the convention. We're going to hear tonight from Willie Robertson, the star of Duck Dynasty. As for what Melania will be saying, you know, her role is the role of all spouses of major party candidates. You know, they humanize them. They present the personal side. They vouch for them. And we know that Donald Trump has made some comments that have made him less than popular among women. So Melania Trump has an opportunity here to really say, this is my husband. He's a good man. I love him. I care about him. He's honorable. And That's going to be her role. And by the way, Donald Trump is going to be appearing tonight. We just learned this relatively recently. He's going to be introducing his wife, Melania. So this is an extraordinary opportunity for Donald Trump to yet again sort of seize the free media and do extraordinary things with mm-hmm. that and generate lots of publicity for himself.
And a chance for his wife to humanize him, as you said.
Absolutely.
I also was thinking about some of the people you mentioned, some of the other speakers I know include the mother of one of the gentlemen who was killed in Benghazi, and also one of the U.S. forces who was involved in the Benghazi incident who survived. So I'm sure that Benghazi and Hillary Clinton will come up as issues
Absolutely.
Tonight as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're going to use this opportunity to try to draw a distinction between what the Republicans are saying is Hillary Clinton's recklessness, her dishonesty. And this is a theme at all Donald Trump events. I covered a lot of them leading up to this moment. And the Benghazi folks are always out there talking about what happened there and this sense of what they say is a sense of betrayal. So that's definitely going to be featured here today.
All right. Well, Anthony, the Republican Party platform is also going to a vote today, and there are some controversial elements. So tell us, what are the highlights? And also, I just have the larger question of, does a platform even really matter anymore, especially in a year where you have a candidate who seems to truly follow the beat of his own drummer?
Well, it's interesting. I mean, it embraces a number of Trump issues, including calling for a wall along the southern border. But it also seems to go even farther to the right. I mean, it describes coal as a clean energy source. It calls for making religion a guide for legislators. It calls for abolishing the IRS. It calls for overturning the Supreme Court decision legalizing gay marriage. So this really pulls the party very far to the right on these social issues. As to whether it matters, probably not. I mean, I talked to a lot of people in the Massachusetts delegation today. We're going to hear from some of them in a moment. And basically, you know, the common understanding is the platform is sort of a vestige of another time. It gives the party, the base, a chance to express their desires. But the presidents go their own way. And, you know, I spoke to Roger Stone, a senior Trump advisor today, and he pointed out that the GOP platform in 1972 demanded that the president not recognize China, let alone travel to China. Nixon made history and did it anyway. So this is, you know, the platform is a bit of an anachronism. It's non-binding. The party is dictated much more by the occupant of the White House than the platform. Still, at this point in the process, there's a lot of talk about it because the delegates are voting on it this afternoon.
All right. Well, good point. All right, Anthony, I know that you're there with two members of the Massachusetts delegation. I'd love to hear from them. And I also just want to let listeners know that if there's any time, we'd be happy to include them in the conversation. 1-800-423-8255, which is 1-800-423-TALK. But Anthony, go ahead and tell us who you're sitting with there.
Sure.
From the Massachusetts delegation.
Yeah, happy to introduce Dean Cavaretta. He's the former director of Donald Trump's Massachusetts campaign and a delegate from the state's 3rd congressional district. And Dean, thanks so much for coming up, for making the long voyage from the floor up here to Radio Row.
Thanks for having me, Anthony.
It's good. Also with us is Diana Ploss. This is her first convention. She's the Suffolk County regional captain and delegate from the 7th congressional district. Welcome to you, Diana. It's great
thanks
to have you.
Thanks so much to have me.
So let me start with you, Dean. You know, you directed Donald Trump's campaign here in Massachusetts in the run-up to the primary. What does it mean to be here now, to see him just steps away from becoming the Republican nominee for president?
Well, Anthony, it's very gratifying to be here. It's been a whirlwind of an experience. When we started, we had 17 candidates, 16 candidates in the race. And to see so many new people get involved in our primary, to have the turnout we did, we got 49.6% of the vote on March 1st. In all of February and March, we were the top state in the country, and there were 30 nominating contests over that period. So he has support, and it's been a very exciting experience to get new people involved, and they're all here.
Well, speaking of new people, Diana Ploss, I'm going to sort of put you in that group because you know, I was talking to you earlier today. You're new to politics. You were a Democrat. You joined the GOP just a couple of years ago. You told me you got involved in politics just a few months ago. What drew you to make the switch? What's drawn you to Donald Trump?
So I made the switch because of primarily two things. One was the anti-police rhetoric that I heard coming from people in the community, especially Cambridge, but across the United States, and that really troubled me. And the other thing was the freedom of speech. I felt like more and more people, younger people, 20-year-olds, 30-year-olds, not you know, calling people racist for stuff that didn't even seem racist to me. So those two things.
So we've heard a lot of talk about Donald Trump speaking out against political correctness. You seem to be one of the people who is sort of chafing against too much political correctness.
Yes, because it's important that we have our freedom of speech, because people can, they can disagree.
Yeah.
Right? That's our whole basis, right, for being. So those two things, I felt like I had to make a stand. And so I said, "Oh, I'm going to change my party." Not really even knowing what I was getting myself into. And even a year ago when I heard that Donald Trump was running, I said, oh, no. And I didn't know that much about the guy. But then I really started to follow him in the fall, you know, and then by December I was hooked. And so I looked for an opportunity to volunteer. And so that's how I ended up meeting Dean.
And here you are at the Republican National Convention in Cleveland. What's the experience like for you?
Just when you say that, like, I'm so choked up. When I came into the building and I walked down into the arena, I just started, like, the tears, and I'm so overwhelmed. I feel so honored, really, to be here.
Well, Dean, let me come back to you, because I really want to ask you a couple of things about this week. What does Donald Trump and the Republicans need? What do they need to do here? I mean, we talk a lot about the need for the party to come together. Is that sort of the mission number one this week?
I would put that mission 1A. 1B is to introduce yourself to the larger American voter, people that will be tuning in, Anthony, for the first time. He has a tremendous opportunity. We were talking earlier this week that, in a way, with all of the national news going on, it's kind of an advantage that Mr. Trump is going first. The incumbent party goes second, but Mr. Trump has the ability to seize the agenda, to frame the debate, talk about these national security issues, the public safety issues, making America great again, and distinguish himself from a third term of Barack Obama, which is what this election might be about.
You know, I want to put the question to you, because Indira asked me, I thought, a good question about the risk of the theme of today, Make America Safe Again, and Donald Trump running as the law and order president. You heard how I expressed the risk there.
Sure.
Do you agree with that? Or you know, how does Donald Trump need to walk this fine line between being very respectful for of the people who have lost their lives and the people who are grieving, and at the same time finding a way to say, here's how we can do better?
It's a balancing act, Anthony, but at the same time, we have to contrast ourselves with the party in power. I mean, let's not forget we are going on year number 8 of Barack Obama being the president of the United States and Hillary Clinton being a part of that administration. So in a way, Mr. Trump has to make the case to the American people for change, and he has to be responsive to the news of the day. It's a balancing act, but I think the organizers have done a good job leading with that, particularly about what's going on. And voters want to hear from our candidates. I think one of the things we learned in the primary, with record turnout here in Massachusetts, I mean, Mr. Trump got more votes in the primary than Mitt Romney did 4 years ago. Our turnout was higher. People want to hear from the candidates, and they want to hear what their solutions are going to be. So,
Dean, I want to jump in here. This is Indira. Politico is reporting that the Never Trump delegates have the signatures they need to force a full vote on the national convention rules quickly in the minute we have left. What's your response to that?
Well, my response is bring it on, because, I mean, I think you're going to see that a vote would be soundly defeated. It's an opportunity to reaffirm the overall support here for Mr. Trump. So, again, you know, if they have a right to bring that up, and we have a right as delegates to vote it down, and we move on. And, you know, this is about winning the general election at this point, and we have to pivot as a party.
All right. Well, thank you so much. That's all the time we have today. We're going to be hearing more from Anthony and other delegates tomorrow. That was Dean Cavaretta, former director of Donald Trump's Massachusetts campaign and a delegate from the state's 3rd congressional district. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And Diana Ploss, Suffolk County Regional Captain and a delegate from the 7th Congressional District. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And Anthony Brooks is, of course, WBUR's senior political reporter, bringing us the latest from the floor there at the convention. Anthony, thank you so much. And we will look forward to hearing more from you tomorrow.
It was my pleasure, Indira. Yeah, we'll look forward to talking to you tomorrow.
All right, well, that's it from us today. Radio Boston is a production of 90.9 WBUR, Boston's NPR station. Our show is produced by Emma Jean Weinstein, Kathleen McNerney, Jamie Bologna, and Allison Bruzek. We had help today from Adam Asher and Virginia Marshall. Tim Skog is our technical director. Our executive producer is Hitesh Hathi. I'm Indira Lakshmanan. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.